John chapter 10. I want to begin reading in verse 1 and just read 6 verses for you this morning that you and I want to look at, and that'll keep us busy for just a few minutes. John chapter 10 and verse 1. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and nobody spoke like He spoke. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the shepherd, unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for the sheep know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. The shepherd and his sheep. If you and I have lived in the East when our Lord Jesus spake these words, there's one thing that you and I would have saw that was so common in that part of the country, and still is in some areas of the East today. You would have saw these large enclosures. Most of them were square. Some were made out of stacked stone, a fence. Some were made out of logs, and others made out of brush. But it was a huge enclosure. And of the night, when the sun began to go down, the shepherds would bring all of their sheep and put them in this enclosure. They called it a sheepfold. They put them in there to protect them from robbers and thieves and from wolves of the night. They had a porter that kept the gate. He was the gatekeeper. The next morning early, the shepherd would come back to the sheepfold. The porter knew the shepherd. And the porter would stand aside, the shepherd would stand in the gate, and he would speak to his sheep. And the most amazing thing happened. You would see a sheep's head suddenly rise. You would see the sheep's ears suddenly perk up. And sometimes the shepherd would begin to call each sheep by his name. He had them all named. He knew all their names. Sometimes they were large flocks. Sometimes they were small flocks. But when the sheep heard the voice of the shepherd, those sheep began to make their way through all the other sheep, and they came to the door where the shepherd was. The shepherd would lead them out into fresh grass, fresh pasture, and springs of water. The sheep followed the shepherd. One of the ways that you could tell a hireling, you could tell one who wasn't the shepherd, the porter would notice him sneaking around by the fence, or he tried to climb over the fence to steal a sheep. Or if he came to the door and spoke to the sheep, none of the sheep would listen to him. The sheep heard only the voice of their shepherd, and a stranger they would not follow. That's the story that the Lord Jesus was preaching here in our text. And it was a story that all of these men knew, naturally speaking, because they saw it almost every day. And yet our text here in verse 6 says they could not understand what he said. I'm sure they understood the natural part of it, because they had to. They saw it too often not to understand about the shepherd and the porter and the sheep. They did not understand the application of it. They said, what's he talking about? Everybody knows this. How does he apply this to himself? They understood not that Jesus Christ was speaking of himself and his sheep, and them hearing his voice. What is the application of these verses that I just read unto you? Well, Let's look at it this way this morning. First of all, the application of what our Lord Jesus said to these disciples of His own, and the scribes and the Pharisees were here too, many of them. What He's doing in this passage, He's exposing the Pharisees and the harlots. He called them on in this chapter, He called them harlots. And He said they don't care for the sheep. They paid to watch over sheep. But it's not their sheep, and they don't love them. And they're thieves, and they're robbers, and everything they do for selfish gain. And they hate the sheep, and they don't seek the good of the sheep. He was exposing these Pharisees. They did not want to hear it, so they didn't hear it. They did not want to understand it, so they said, we can't understand what He's saying. But He's exposing the sheep. I think if we keep in this context this morning, I'm sure all of you are familiar with the 9th chapter of John. The Lord Jesus had saw a blind man. He was blind from his mother's womb. And the Lord Jesus spit on the ground, made clay, and put it on his eyes and said to him, you go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man went and washed and came seeing. He was blind from his mother's womb, and now he sees. And everybody was astonished. They took him up to the Pharisees and the scribes, probably the whole council of the Sanhedrin. And they said, what happened here? Were you sure you were born blind? He said, I was born blind. And they said, who did this? He said, I don't even know his name. I just know he spoke to me and told me to go wash. I went and washed, and now I see. And they continued to question this man. And finally they got so mad at him, they excommunicated him from the temple. They put him out of their temple. Even his parents wouldn't stand up for it. All they said was, we know this is our son. And we know that he was born blind. We have no idea who healed him. This blind man that was healed, he did not know the name of the one who healed him. But when the Pharisees tried to get him to give God the glory and discredit the Lord Jesus, the one who had given him his sight, he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And they said, we're going to put you out of the synagogue. And there in verse 22 of that chapter, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Why did they fear to be put out of the synagogue? The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, had convinced the common people that if you were excommunicated from the temple, from that worship, then the wrath of God was upon you. There was no hope of heaven for you. And the parents feared to take the part of the very one that had given their son his sight. But here this son, this illiterate man, that had never seen an alphabet in all of his life, that could not read a word, could not even recognize the face of his father and his mother. When the Pharisees said, you deny Christ, you speak evil of him, you say that he is a sinner, this man said, you can put me out of the synagogue. I'm not going to speak evil of him. Wasn't that what he said? He had no fear. He would not listen to these men who had discredited the Son of God. And why didn't he listen to them? He had heard the voice of the shepherd. And a stranger he would not follow. Ain't that what the Lord's telling here in our text? The sheep hear my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him. And here was this illiterate man who knew hardly anything about the one who gave him sight. But he had heard his voice. And he knew there's nobody's voice like that voice. That voice gave me sight. Who were these Pharisees and scribes? They were harlots. They were men who had set themselves up as shepherds over the flock, but they abused them. They were hateful. They were mean. And everything they did was for some selfish gain. It was for some monetary gain, or it was for the praise of men. But they did not care for the sheep. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus is doing here in our text. He is exposing these scribes and Pharisees as harlots. And here was the trouble with these Pharisees and scribes. Here was the biggest trouble that they faced. The porter would not open to them. That's what the Lord Jesus said to them. He said, the porter will not open but to one. And that's the true shepherd. And if you harlots or you false shepherds try to speak to the sheep, the porter won't give you access to them. This porter must have been a very important person. This keeper of the gate, he must have had some sort of special weapons, or he must have been a big husky, strong fighter. Because the Lord Jesus says Himself, if the porter won't open, then you don't have access to the sheep. I think here's a good question. Who is this porter? Who is the porter? Because the Lord Jesus said, when I come up to the gate of the sheepfold, the porter opens to me and gives me access to the sheep. And He's basically saying to these Pharisees, your whole problem is the porter won't open for you. Why wouldn't this blind man hear what they were saying? He heard the voice of the shepherd, didn't he? Who is this porter? Let's consider two or three things of who this porter is, because I think in this parable here, it's very, very important. Who is the porter that gave the shepherd total access to the sheep? Well, first of all, we would say that it was God the Father. God the Father gave His Son complete access to His sheep. Just as the porter naturally knew the shepherd, God the Father knows His Son. Ain't that what He tells us? Look back again in our chapter. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ said, my Father knows me. He knows me. And look what else He says in verse 18. Not only does the Father know Him, the Father's the one that sent Him. The Father was the one that gave Him commandment on what to do when He came. Look in verse 18. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Christ didn't come by His own will, did He? Came at the will of the Father. The Father sent Him. Didn't come on His own. The Father sent Him. And look at this. Look over in the same chapter and look at verse 27 and verse 28. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Look at this in verse 29. My Father which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Where did Christ get His sheep? They were the gift of His Father. My Father which gave them to me. So the Father is the porter, is He not? He's the one that opens the door and gives the Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, access to His sheep. You remember when the Lord Jesus first began His ministry, when He was baptized, this voice came from heaven. The dove in the form of the Holy Spirit lit upon Him, and the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God knows Him, doesn't He? The Father knows His Son. He's the shepherd. Another time on the Mount of Transfiguration, this cloud came over the Lord and His disciples, and there's a voice that spake from this cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. This is my Son, my eternal Son. I know Him. And I've given Him full access to the sheep." Who is this porter? Who is the gatekeeper? It's the Father Himself. "This is my beloved Son." Who gave you this authority? That's what they asked the Lord Jesus one day when He was forgiving sins. He forgave the sins of this crippled man, told him to take up his bed and walk. And the Pharisees said, "Who gave you the authority to forgive sins?" Well, who did? That's an important question, isn't it? The one who sent Him, the one who knows Him, the porter, God the Father, gave Him the authority to do all that He did. God gave Him His sheep. The Father sent Him to die for His sheep. He sent Him to find His sheep, to give life for His sheep, to give His sheep eternal life, and someday say to His sheep, "Come, you blessed of my Father. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you." You here this morning that have put all your trust in Jesus Christ, doesn't it comfort you and reassure you to know that your shepherd is the one of God's choosing? That He's the one that gave your shepherd access to you and do all for you that He did? That's comfort, isn't it? There's another one that we could consider too as the porter, and that's the prophets in the Old Testament. They're the porters. "To Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sin." The prophets knew Him. The prophets prophesied of the shepherd. The prophets wrote of Him. Moses wrote of Him, didn't he? Abraham said, "I know it. I rejoice to see His day." And he saw it. John the Baptist was the last of all the Old Testament prophets and the greatest of these prophets. And here's what he said when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "There's the Son of God. There He is. And I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose the ties from His shoes. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist knew Him and bore witness to Him. All the prophets with one united voice said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, and He's the shepherd of the sheep. Open to Him. Open to Him." That's how we know He's the true shepherd. The prophets declare Him. Someday, I doubt I'll ever get to do this. This sort of shows the mean side of your pastor sometimes, I think. But I don't know if St. Anne's has one of these confessional booths or not. But someday, I'm going to find one of those places. And I'm going to go into one of those confessional booths. And with the priest, the father, on the other side of the petition, and I'm going to start confessing all my sins through that little hole. And when he says, "I absolve you from all your sins," you know what I'm going to ask him? "Where'd you get that authority? Who's the porter that opened to you? Did Moses write of you? Did Abraham know you? Could you show me a chapter and a verse where your name is even mentioned? You know who those fellows are that hears your confession and absolves you from all your sins? They're thieves and robbers. They're harlots. God did not send them. The porter did not open to them. And if you listen to them, they'll destroy your poor precious soul." One of you told me just the other night about a false prophet in this area. And you told me what he told his congregation. He told his congregation they should pray in his name. If you're having trouble getting your prayers answered, pray in my name. If you can't get Jared, come to me and I'll pray for you. Where did he get that authority? Has the porter opened to him? See why this text is so important? See why the study of the porter is so important? Who is he? Who is it that opens the door to the true shepherd? It's God his Father. It's all the Old Testament prophets. Right up until John the Baptist said, there's the true shepherd. There he is. What about this man over here? No, that's not him. What about this fellow? No, that's not him either. There he is. The one the Father bears witness to, one the Old Testament Scriptures bears witness to, and everybody else is harlots. They're not imposters. Don't listen to them. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing. He said, the porter opens to me. And your whole problem is, you scribes and Pharisees, he don't open to you. That's your whole problem. I tell you another porter too. When you look at those Old Testament sacrifices, those blood sacrifices, you know who those sacrifices point to. You know who they give way to. The true shepherd, Jesus Christ. All of them point to him. Sometimes a Jew will ask a question when people talk to them and witness to them. Read the Bible to them. They'll ask the question, well, why should I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is truly the Son of God? Why should I believe that? And usually they answer them something like this. Go read your Bible. Go look in the Old Testament. What was it that turned the wrath of God from your forefathers back when they were delivered out of the book, out of the land of the bondage. What was it that delivered them? It was the blood over the doorposts. The blood of that lamb. And what was it and what was the meaning of that verse where the Lord said, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of Israel and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. What is that fountain? That's what the Jews need to be asked. What is that fountain? Go over to the New Testament where the Roman soldier stuck the spear in the side of Jesus of Nazareth hanging on the cross and all of his blood come pouring out. That's the fountain. Ask the Jew this. Why was the veil in the temple rent at that very hour from the top to the bottom? As their forefathers will verify. You know why that veil was rent? Because the way into the holiest of all was manifest. Blood. And whose blood was it? All of these blood sacrifices pointed to the true shepherd. And it wasn't long after the Lord Jesus said, it's finished, and he opened up the fountain of his blood, to all of those Jewish sacrifices ceased to be offered. And why was that? They all gave way to the true shepherd. The shepherd of the sheep who came to redeem them from their iniquity. These blood sacrifices, brothers and sisters, was the porter. And they opened to the true shepherd. And all of these false prophets and all these false shepherds that come and telling us what they can do for us and all the cults and the old cults and all of these false preachers. Ask them if the porter ever opened to them. The porter. He's a very important person, isn't he? The porter. Now the Lord Jesus has effectually ransomed his sheep, has he not? He gave his life for theirs. He gave his blood for their ransom. And now because he lives, they'll live also. And he's back in heaven. He's on the right hand of the Father, and none of us see him anymore. But you know something? We still hear his voice. He's still speaking. He's still with us in His Spirit by the Spirit of promise. And you know something? Just as this poor illiterate man in John chapter 9 heard His voice and refused to hear all other strangers, it's the same way today. When the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you, He speaks so effectually. He speaks so powerfully. And He speaks so plainly that you hear His voice. And you follow Him. Let me give you some places that He visits us with His voice and speaks to us. See if you can relate to His voice. The first place you heard His voice is when He converted you. When He converted you. We don't grow into the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters. We're burned into it. We don't turn over new leaves. We're made new creatures. We're converted. And it takes a powerful voice to convert a man from the guilt of sin and the power of sin and the love of sin. And only one voice can do it. And that's the voice of the shepherd. They shall hear My voice, and I lead them out. Out of what? Out of sin. Out of the love of it. The pleasure of it. The guilt of it. And the end of it. They hear His voice. Oh, remember when you heard His voice. I remember I'd been trying to save myself for so long. My sin had just burdened my conscience. My guilt just finally overwhelmed me. I couldn't pray anymore. I couldn't make any more restitutions. I'd done everything I knew to do. And still I was lost, lost, lost. And one night by my bed in all my guilt, the words just came through me. I said them, but they came through me. Lord, plead My cause. I was speaking to Jesus Christ. Plead My cause. And His blood cleansed me. That blood that speaks better things than Abel, then Cain's, cleansed my conscience. I heard His voice. I heard the shepherd's voice. I'll never forget that in all my days. I heard His voice. You know what He says about His life-giving voice? He said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Nothing short of the voice of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, can give anybody life. You just, they won't do it. You and I love to hand out tracts. We hand out tracts. We love to witness to people. Sometimes we give people books. We preach to people. And all along we know that those things will not save a person unless the shepherd is pleased to speak to them Himself through His Word. Nothing else to do it, will it? I get up here and I raise my voice and I get all, you know, my hands flying around. But my voice can't reach your heart. My voice can't give you life. My voice can't cleanse the guilt from your conscience. But His can. My sheep hear My voice. I know them. And when I speak, their ears perk up. When I speak to them, they come out. Why? Because of My voice. It's My voice. Still speaking, isn't He? Oh, He's still speaking. I hope He speaks to somebody this morning. Another place that we hear His voice, and He often speaks to us, is to guide us in our daily lives. Boy, how desperately you and I would err. We would err to the point of no return if our shepherd didn't guide us and keep us. Do you know that? God have mercy upon a man that's left to himself. Sheep and dumb animals. I've read stories about shepherds who wrote about their sheep. And one of the dumbest animals in the world, they said, is a sheep. You take him out a little ways over the hill in the pasture and he can't find his way back home. A dog can, but not a sheep. He lays over on his side and after a while he's on his back and he casts and he dies there. He's got so many enemies. Dogs and wolves, lions and bears out there in the wilderness. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's pits. There's pits just next to the road that you and I are traveling. There are pits that if we fell into, we'd never recover from them. There are bypasses that if we go down, we may never come back. How important it is that we have a shepherd that speaks to us and guides us and keeps us. I love that passage in Isaiah that says, "You shall hear a voice behind you. When you're going to the right hand or to the left, you'll hear a voice saying, 'This is the way. Walk ye in it.'" You know who that voice is? That's the voice of the shepherd. And if you don't hear that voice, you'll soon err. You'll soon go astray. Oh, bless His name for His voice that keeps us from erring. But it's not just His voice that keeps us from erring, speaking to us. Aren't you glad we have one in heaven that speaks for us? Our shepherd is in the Spirit now, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of God's Son, and He speaks and guides us. But in His own person, He is in heaven speaking for us. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He told the Apostle Peter, Peter had no idea what he was getting ready to do, but he said, "Peter, you're getting ready to deny me, not once, but three times. And not only deny me, you're going to curse and you're going to swear that you don't even know me." What's the next word? "But I pray for you. I have prayed for you. I've made intercessions for you." And there's times, brothers and sisters, that you and I would err something awfully. But we don't. There's times that Satan lays a snare for us, but we don't fall into it. We escape it. And why is that? We never even knew it, but there was our shepherd in heaven making intercessions for us. That's it. I think the day of judgment is going to tell a lot of things. And one thing it's going to tell is all of the troubles, all the heartaches that the Lord Jesus Christ saved us from because He made intercessions. "Father, Father, look what they're getting ready to do. Deliver them from it. Father, look at this pit they're going to fall into. Direct them back the other way." Our shepherd is in heaven. And His voice is here there. And His Father, when He speaks to His Father, the Father hears Him. Thirdly, let's consider this just a minute. The shepherd visits us with His voice to comfort us. The shepherd speaks comfort. He speaks life. He gives directions. He speaks comfort to our hearts. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and man, was it ever bothering him. It got him down. He was a strong man in faith, but he said, I can't go with this thorn. You ever get a thorn in your foot? I'm from the South, and we used to run around barefooted all summertime to save our shoes. We got one pair a year, usually. So we ran all summer getting our feet stung with bees and getting splinters and thorns in them. And it hurts to get a thorn in your foot. And Paul had a thorn in his flesh. And he says, "I besought the Lord three times to remove this thorn." And the Lord finally spoke to Paul. "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee.'" Now, if you had been there and you told Paul, "Paul, His grace is sufficient for you," I doubt that would have helped him much. But when Christ spoke to him, "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" Paul said, "Okay then, that's enough. I'll glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ and the comfort of Christ may rest upon me." Hearing His voice is what gives the comfort. I can tell you this morning that we have a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. But if he tells you that, it's going to comfort you. I can tell you that in all our afflictions, He's afflicted. But when He tells you that, that's going to be comfort for you. I can tell you He will never leave you or forsake you, but when He tells you that, I can tell you that Jesus has planted you in His vineyard, and He's told you He will keep you and water you every moment, night and day, that no one will hurt you. But if He whispers that to you, boy, that's going to be comfort to you. And when you lay on your deathbed and you're facing eternity and the reality of it is you can't escape it, what a solemn hour that will be and what a comfort it will be to your heart if He speaks to you and says, "Fear not. I am the Lord that redeemed you. I called you by your name. You're mine. You're going through the waters, but I'm with you." Wouldn't that comfort you? Will not that be a comfort to you? I can't face living without His voice, and I sure can't face death without His voice. Oh, Lord, speak to me. Oh, may God grant every one of us this morning to say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. I know His voice. He's spoken life to me. He's helped me. He's led me. He's upheld me. He comforts me with His voice." Can you relate to that? Have you heard the shepherd's voice? It's comforting to us when we hear the great shepherd not only speak to our hearts, but when He speaks to our enemies. I hate death. I told somebody, I think it was Cora the other day, she told about someone so sick and dying. I hate death. I go through the graveyard where I walk sometime and see old friends, Tanya, that's buried there. I look down at the grave and I say, "I hate you." I look at death right in the eyes and say, "I hate you." But you know something? Death never flinches from me. The grave don't care what I say to it. But I tell you, when the shepherds speak, they tremble. Here's what He says to the death and the grave. Here's what He says about His sheep. "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your victory." And death and the grave trembles at the voice of our shepherd. That's how powerful His voice is. Let's consider this in closing. He says back here in our text again, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." What in the world does that mean? He calleth his own sheep by name. The Lord has never spoke my name that I hear. I've never heard Jesus Christ say, "Bruce." I've never heard that. I don't even know if I want to hear that. I don't find my name in the Bible any place. I think this has two meanings. First, doesn't this denote intimate knowledge? Look what He says in verse 14 again. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I know my sheep." Look what He says in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." I know them. When He says, "I call them by their name," He's telling us here that He has intimate knowledge of them. We sang that old song sometime. "He loved me ere I knew Him." He knew me before I knew Him, didn't He? He knew me when I was in my mother's womb then. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. The Bible says He knew us before the foundation of the world. That's when He put the names of all His sheep down in the book of life. He has intimate knowledge of them. I know them, he says. I know their downsettings. I know their uprisings. I understand their thoughts afar off. I know what they need. I know where they're at. He compasseth my path and my lying down, and he's acquainted with all my ways. Well, that's intimate knowledge, isn't it? Everything is naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Even us, our thoughts, our motives, our hearts, our beings. He knows us perfectly. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows them. It also means personal attention. When somebody speaks your name, you know they're talking to you, don't you? People can talk all around you and you'll not pay attention. But when somebody says, Brad, they got your attention, don't you, Brad? You listen. That's what he means. I speak their name. It's a personal thing. When he speaks to you, you know he's talking to you. That's how personal it is. When the last day comes and all the nations are before the Lord Jesus Christ and he puts his sheep on the right hand, that number that nobody can number, puts all the goats on the left hand, and he says to his sheep, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. But you know something? When he says that to all of those sheep, each one of them hear that as though he's speaking to them personally. Come, you blessed. The Lord doesn't save people in groups. He speaks to them as individuals. And when he speaks, it's so personal. It's just like he's calling your name. He gets your attention. Are you one of his? Are you one of his? Has he told you you're one of his? Have you heard his voice? No Charles Wesley song. Shepherd divine, our wants relieve, and this our evil day, to all thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray. Long as our fiery trials last, long as the cross we bear, oh, let our souls on thee be cast and never cease in prayer. Till thou the Father's love impart, till thou thyself bestow, to this the cry of every heart, I will not let thee go. I will not let thee go unless thou speak thy name to me with all thy great salvation bless and say, Christ died for thee. Oh, speak to us, Lord. Speak with your irresistible voice, and we'll hear. Our Father, thank you for the great shepherd. Thank you for sending us a mighty one, a mighty Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming in great love and determination to save your people, to give your life for them, your precious blood. Thank you for calling them, for finding them. Thank you for giving them life. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for your willingness to abide in our hearts. Your patience, your long-suffering. Our triune God, the author of salvation. We bless your wonderful and great name. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your kind providence in bringing us here as we are this morning. To sing unto you. To pray, to read your word, to preach your word. Receive our worship. Wash us, Lord, from every stain. Lord Jesus, present all that's done you this morning, spotless before your Father. In your name we pray these things. Amen. Somebody fixed the dinner. I have no idea for sure who did it, but somebody's fixed the dinner. We had dinner last Sunday, but if you want to stick around, we'll eat again today. Okay? Chicken and dumplings. If you like chicken and dumplings. I know one or two for sure that's staying. Alrighty, anything before we go? Please remember those aren't here. Bob and Billy. Bobby's not feeling good. And something probably happened to Larry Baker's brother. So please remember those, would you? Good to see you, though. Good to see everybody. So if you can, stay and eat about with us. Okay? Lord bless you.